Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and it is my delight and pleasure to introduce a team of creators of a very, very engaging and smart young adult middle grade graphic novel series called Five Worlds. And this is a story that intrigued me from the beginning, and then I kind of lost track of it until the last two books came out. I'm like, wait, I have to catch up. And I did that with Glee and Abandonment. So I'd like to welcome writers Mark Siegel and Alexis Siegel. Yes, they're related. And artists Xanthi Bhuma, Matt Rockefeller, and Boya Soon. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, first, I have to commend you all. This is a relatively surprising story. It surprised me in the directions that it went, and the characters are just so delightfully drawn. There, you can see the energy in not only their facial expressions but their actions, and I just want to talk about how this story came about. Now, Mark and Alexis, you guys are brothers and you guys co-wrote this. Yes. Talk about where that story came from.
So we maybe I'll jump in. This is Mark, and we originally, so Alexis right now lives in Geneva, I'm in New York. And Matt, Boy, and Xanthi are in various parts of the West Coast of America. I think, right, Matt? Where are you now? You're back in the West Coast. So originally, Alexis was in New York, and the two of us were, we had been batting around a story project, which was originally an adult graphic novel. And partly with Alexis's background as a translator and his fascination in like the meetings of cultures and civilizations, we had this premise that was set on five worlds, and then it kind of mushroomed into this really big story. So we started looking for some partner artists, and originally I was going to do the drawing, and I realized, like, okay, this is going to be like 15 years of my life if I'm lucky. And we were like, okay, we'd like to put this out into the world sooner than that. So we went looking, and we originally talked to a really talented guy called Sam Bosma, who did fantasy sports, who's doing all kinds of stuff in animation. And he couldn't take on a big project like that, but he said, I had some amazing students at Maryland Institute College of Art. And he introduced us, I think, first to Matt.
And Xanthi, I think, Xanthi, simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah. And we met, it was at a MoCA in New York, right? It was the small con. Mm-hmm. And then Boya came along very quickly. And we basically decided, okay, you know, we hadn't sold this. So we decided, let's put a pitch together. And at first it was like, it really was like, you know, Matt and Xanthi and Boya were like hired guns, sort of. It was like they were coming on board, and Alexis and I had this kind of figured out, and we had like sketches and stuff. And then we worked up a sample all together, and it was like very quickly it became clear like we had met like way more than hired guns. I mean, we were excited by their work already because they were like crazy genius talents, each in their own right, and they've only proven that more so since then. But then when we started working, it was like, oh my god, suddenly there's these three kind of kindred spirits that are like bringing a whole nother, each of them a different overlay into the story, into the world building, and into the character development, into the plotting, in every detail. And so it became, you know, more and more of a five-way collaboration from what we had intended. And it, in a magical way, our team, our little team of five, you know, here we are 7 years later, And it feels like, you know, I can see like a touch of Boya here, or a touch of Xanthi there, you know, or like Matt's, you know, distinct style in something or other. But overall, it feels like there's a voice of Five Worlds that's like its own voice, kind of separate from the five of us, but encompassing. It's very an amazing experience, an amazing adventure. So that's the kind of like quick backstory.
Yeah,
if I can jump in, this is Alexis.
Yeah,
and it happened very organically. Actually, the switch from, you know, Mark and I being in the driver's seat, and Xanthi, Boy, and Matt sort of carrying out our plan, because very early on, actually, they were very tentative in saying, well, could we also give some notes on the, you know, would you be open to that? And it was like all very tentative and respectful, and we were overjoyed, because, you know, it's wonderful to have people invested in the story and bringing their creativity and talent into it. And that's definitely what it's been for us, is that there were whole sides of the story that that were revealed thanks to their sensibilities and everything that they brought, not just to the art, but even in hashing over some aspects of the story and you know, discussing it with us. So we found it incredibly fruitful to be five participants in this.
And I love the tagline. It says, think Star Wars meets Avatar The Last Airbender. And I'm like, that's a bold statement. But it's actually quite on the nose there. The description for our listeners is, the five worlds are on the brink of extinction unless five ancient and mysterious beacons are lit. When war erupts, three unlikely heroes will discover there's more to themselves and more to their worlds than meets the eye. And those characters, that situation they find themselves thrown into, I have to ask Matt, Boya, and Xanthi, what was it about the story pitch to you guys that made you want to sign on and say, yes, I want to draw this adventure?
I distinctly remember in sort of when Mark and Alexis like approached us with the story, Mark had done a series of drawings of the world and of the characters already as sort of like their pitch. And there was this one drawing of like one of the sand dancers. I don't even know if it was Una yet, but she was like making a portal with the sand. And there was like this mysterious like stone face kind of like coming out of this portal. And I just thought it was like the coolest drawing. but it definitely struck this feeling of like magic, like this magic sci-fi that I hadn't really seen or maybe hadn't experienced for like a while. It was like it was a very distinct kind of like setting that I think like really intrigued me. And I think, I think that one, for some reason, I think that just nailed the atmosphere of like the whimsical science, I guess, that this story sort of had. And that really drew me in.
Yeah, this is Matt, by the way. When I first got the little packet that Mark sent, and I opened it up and it was just filled to the brim with these little tiny watercolors of just all sorts of characters that were, some of them were plant people, some of them were robots. And I feel like in that moment, it was kind of just like, is this a dream project just coming to me, you know, at the end of my senior year of art school? And it really just had this feeling of an incredible uniqueness that I think you can still feel when you read the books. It has its own flavor that isn't really found, even though it's accurately described as Star Wars meets Avatar. I think it does have its own very special feeling too that it's bringing to the table, and that was apparent in Mark's first little doodles. It was just it didn't take itself too seriously, also, which I think It had this lightness and a playfulness that a lot of sci-fi adventure stories don't have. And even if it wasn't being pitched as a middle grade book, I would have still loved to have made it for adults as well. I think our whole mindset behind making it was that it should be for everyone and not pigeonholed into one singular audience.
Yeah, for me, it's like pretty much the same coming off of just like Matt said, senior year of college. It's kind of a dream project, you know, like it's not very common where you get to start from the beginning, epic story, like fantasy world, ton of concept art, world building. It's like exactly what we love and studied in school. Going into it wasn't like I knew everything, like all the different worlds and like the content in the story, but it was just like even a chance at like something as cool. Like I think also I was a bit like, we were all kind of like naive, like yeah, we can build a whole world, this is really cool. But it did turn out to be like a really rich story, and the fact that we all know each other, or Matt and Xanthi and I, helped a lot. It wasn't like taking on the project by myself, you know. So it's I think all of that just pushed us to go for it, even though it is kind of like a leap of faith.
Well, Alexis had mentioned that there was a back and forth, giving each other notes. How involved were you three in, I guess, fine-tuning the look of the main characters and each of the five worlds? Because each world has a different feel to it, a different atmosphere to it. You can tell you're on a different world just by what you see in the background around the characters.
I think, yeah, a lot of that was with the characters. We did have Mark's initial drawings, so I can't really speak to how you two arrived at those designs in the first place. But Matt Boy and I took them, and then we each did iterations of the characters. And I think we took them really far away from what they were, and then we sort of brought them back, which I think helped us find a cohesion with what Mark and Alexis were envisioning for the story, as well as sort of like tying together me, Boya, and Matt's artistic like approach. So yeah, we did a lot of passes of the characters. When I look back at the old drawings, I'm like, these are ridiculous. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I think the world building went a little similarly with Mark made us like mood boards, just full. Like, they're huge mood boards on Pinterest, of all kinds of things, like from places, like real places, made up places, illustrations, fashion, like all kinds of things that would fill this world. And then we kind of took those and each went into our sort of artistic strengths and developed those things. So like, I really like fashion, so I would like try to come up with what the people in the world would wear, and then like Boya's really good with like technical things and like gadgetry, so he would create like ships and like devices, and then Matt is really good with environments, so he would create these like wonderful concept arts of like all these places that sometimes we don't even go to in the books, but they definitely exist because he drew them. So we would all kind of just like touch these different aspects of like what this world could be. And then on top of that, Alexis and Mark were developing, you know, the cultures of these worlds like written. And I think that really helped inform our design choices as we were doing those things, because like, it might not be like spoken in the book, but we'd be like, oh, the singing weavers, you know, enchant the fabrics, or, you know, I don't know, something like that. And then we would sort of like draw in things that might reference those world building notes, even if they aren't apparent to readers.
Yeah, they had a lot of notes that were very broad for each of the worlds, just going over like what the government was like, what some traditions of the people were like, what the belief systems were like, and we tried to take those and then try to come up with a handful of symbols or patterns or architecture styles or anything like that to embody those different details. So like for example, on Toki, we did a lot of very rigid pattern designs, like diamond shapes with a lot of straight lines, and it's very like strong and aggressive, and that was to kind of match what their political military style was at the beginning of the books.
And as far as like our feedback going to the story, some of the concepts, for example, are not as rigid in the writing. And so when we do take them into design, for example, like the sand castle or sandstone, a lot of times the ideas that we came up with later also helped with or solved some of the problems with the story, like especially in regards to how the sand magic works. And, you know, the mechanics that could influence the plot later on.
And they did.
Yeah, I think those were our main feedbacks, like going back into the changing the story a little bit.
Originally, the sandstone was a bottle, like a jar that kept the sand. And we came up with it kind of hardening into a stone, and then it kind of becomes fluid out of it. And that was something that...
The sandcastle too, right? Like the beacon was going to be like a glass beacon of sorts. And then we just, with that, figuring out the bottle, like the sandstone mechanic, we sort of like translated that into different, like Vector's mask at the beginning was similar. And then like the beacon, the solid shape of the beacon.
And that's just one example of how the visuals like created a feedback loop with the writing. And that was really exciting.
Many examples of that. And it was also, you know, it's worth noting, you know, we like hit the jackpot with this team, I feel, because we, you know, Xanthi and Boya and Matt are like truly storytellers, really, really inspired storytellers in their own right, which not all artists, not all visual artists are, you know, and so what happened is like in the course of it, like there would be times when Alexis and I would like, we were like, okay, we've pushed this as far as we can. And we're like, this is in really good shape and we're happy, we're done. And then we would send it and it'd be like, you know, a bunch of questions, like some hard questions that we hadn't asked ourselves. And my first reaction would often be like, oh, fuck. It's like, we were done with this thing. Like, you know, and then what would happen, and this happened like a number of times in different ways where, or sometimes like a key plot point, you know, would suddenly be like, wait a minute, you know, wait, does that actually make sense? And we're like, oh, come on, guys. And then we would get into a conversation and many times we would kind of hop on Zoom together and the story, the whole story would level up as a result, you know, and that happened over and over, like to the point where I don't remember, you know, half the decisions about like, you know, when things took a different direction from the original plan or so then it was like, you know, the yeah, but wait one second email that would come from the team, you know, like after a while we realized like, oh my God, we're so lucky. This is like,
And
you also have this really rare occurrence in terms of a team of collaborators. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard enough with two people, but with five people, it's even more rare. Is like, you know, as an editor, you know, I run for Second, which is Macmillan's graphic novel imprint. You know, I see a lot of collaborations, and it's, you know, in a lot of them, you know, egos can make a mess of things. You know, and amazingly, for 7 years, it felt like we've been working in this kind of dynamic where we're all like, in a way, our boss is Una Lee. Our boss is the project. You know, the project is actually leading. You know, so it's never about like, oh well, you know, Matt really wants his way on this thing. It's always was like, we want to solve a problem together. And it's, I find that, to me, that's like one of the blessings of a lifetime is this experience.
Do you guys realize that you're talking about how your talents and your desire to, you know, the storytelling drive to get this story told, you're kind of intermeshing like the five worlds.
Right.
And there's each of it, there's each world has a different style, a different approach, a different thought process, but they all work together well as one. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall on some of those conversations, because in the art, it's, there's so much in the drawings, in the artwork, of the depictions of the societies, the civilization, the characters. Like, there's a slight difference in the fluid dynamics of the sand on the different worlds. There's a difference in the energy between Toki and, I'm drawing a blank on the red world. You can see it. It's like the art is giving you subliminal hints as to the greater depth of the world you're reading about. And the characters from those worlds behave along with their different worlds. And I'm like, this is amazing. I love this. I'd love to see this animated.
It's nice. I mean, it's nice to hear that that sort of gets picked up on, because I think much of that we did with intent. I mean, some of it bleeds through, like, accidentally too. But I think, like, for our own sakes, it was like we were also kind of trying to establish like a shorthand for like our own work purposes, where it's like, how can I don't know, how do I convey the feeling that Salisandra gives me visually? Mm-hmm. And like, how can we do that efficiently so that like readers pick up on it too? So it's gratifying to hear that, because I feel like we tried.
And you know, that's mostly how I approach stories. When a story really connects with me and I start seeing how to pull the pieces apart and, like, you know, peek behind the curtain and say, okay, how'd they do this? Cool. And you said that it took 7 years to complete this project. How long was it from when you started until book one actually was published?
Started in Mark sent that email. I looked, it was March of 2014. And so we're coming up on 8 years total since he reached out to us. So from that point, I think the first book launched in 2017.
Yeah.
So
took us like 2 years to from the concept art phase to finishing the first book.
Nice. I found some notes recently that were like, I think early like monkeying around for Alexis and me, like in 2010. So we, at one point we let the project sit because we got stuck. And then when we realized like they should actually be kids and not adults, like suddenly the whole project opened up. And so it was like, I would say before we met you guys, it was like maybe a year and a half to 2 years of us meeting and kind of kicking it around.
Right. Wow. Well, I hope listeners to this interview decide to go check out Five Worlds, because there are sketches and I guess works in progress in the backs of some of the books. I haven't seen the full fifth one yet, because technical issues decided to crop up and laugh at me. but I would love to see like a separate supplemental book of sketches and character design stuff that goes beyond the couple of pages that are in the actual published books. So
We actually have a little zine that we sell at conventions, and occasionally at our online store we make like one like tiny little zine for each book of like the visual development, because there is like so much. It'd be fun to make a visual development omnibus, yeah, like one mm-hmm. like an art book kind of. But yeah, so those float around sometimes.
Nice. Well, keep an eye out for them, or send enough people your way with the suggested email saying, hey, can you guys make one of these? Sell it for a while. But I want to thank you all for this story. It really is delightful. I can see kids really getting into it, because there's some danger, but it's the core of the story is about hope and trying to let you and your friends be more than you are separately and basically save the world. In this case, the worlds. Alexis, Mark, Xanthi, Boya, Matt, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was fun talking with you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic, we've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's surveillance fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And again, the series is called Five Worlds. The actual publisher is Random House Books for Young Readers. And the books in the series are, book one is The Sand Warrior. Book two is The Cobalt Prince. Book three is The Red Maze. Book four is The Amber Anthem, and book five is The Emerald Gate. And all five books are available right now, so I highly recommend going to check them out. They are all hardcover young readers books. I would say middle grade, kind of like Judd Winnick's Hilo series, which is also pretty awesome, by the way. And we will have links on the website to where you can get all five books. But how about you? Do you like graphic novels that appeal to young readers with just amazing stories and even more amazing artwork? If so, let me know. The number to call is 602-635-6976, or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can also get a conversation started over at Twitter, @sliceofscifi, or leave a comment in the discussion sections of the website. For each of the shows, you can leave a comment, including this one. So let's get a conversation started. Make some good geeky trouble. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, consider leaving us a review. Help signal boost the show. Let people know you are enjoying the content here, and maybe they should check it out for themselves. And if you're a member of Podchaser, you can also leave a review or a rating over there. I'd like to remind people that sliceofscifi.net is where we are going to be curating select content from all of the Slice of Sci-Fi contributors, TV shows, movies, books, anything from the hearts and minds of myself, Darren, Noah, Lewis, Claire, might even get Nerd Soul involved, and Chris Vanderkay, and of course, our dear friend Monty Yazzie, from the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival. Hint, hint, we're going to be talking to him real soon about this year's upcoming festival. So keep that site on your radar while we build it out. All items purchased through SliceOfSciFi.net are through affiliate links through both Amazon and Bookshop. So that's one way to help support our efforts here. And I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support the Slice of Sci-Fi universe in different ways through donations and pledges through Patreon. Your help through that pathway also helps keep things running around here. And if you are a patron, you know you're eligible for perks. Every month I pick a winning email address out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a book, a Blu-ray, a DVD, a 4K, because many of the review materials I get around here can't keep because I don't have the space for it all. I really don't. But if you're interested, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi, pick a tier, any tier, and you will become eligible to receive a perk. And other ways to donate are through PayPal, paypal.me/sci-fi-summer, and through Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/sliceofsci-fi. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.